You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Once again, we are with Mr. David Drake, the founder of The Soho Loft, that is a leading financial media company. The Soho Law Firm publishes articles for 40-plus publications, including Forbes and Thomson Reuters, regularly, and manages ad engagement in 200-plus events per year. Mr. Drake was also invited to the White House Champion of Change earlier this year and represented the U.S. Commerce Department in Rome last year on early-stage equity policy. Mr. Drake, certainly a privilege to have you back with us on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you very much to have me back. And it's a good time for me to come back and tell everybody who's listening, and entrepreneurs as well as startups and small, medium-sized businesses, what is happening with the different laws and what are some of the opportunities around raising capital for companies at an early stage and also a mid-level stage. So thank you. So thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. Good topics to cover, and you are the person to definitely cover that for us. So first of all, Mr. Drake, what is happening on capital formation in the U.S., and what should we be getting excited about?
Well, you know, after the Great Depression, after the Great Financial Crisis, you know, we saw 2,700 VC firms kind of dissipate into only 400 existing VC firms, and the banks stopped lending. So we've had a crunch of getting capital the last few years, and the Jobs Act, Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act, that was signed into law April 5th by Obama last year, had a couple provisions to bring jobs back to the U.S. and the small businesses, specifically through the small businesses. And part of those laws have been taken into effect and really haven't shown a lot of more job creation. However, the major ones are coming up right now, and one of the biggest ones is D506C that was just passed as a law, which allows the U.S. to be the first country in the world allowing general solicitation for private offerings. Let me rephrase that. What does that mean? Well, every country in the world, as I've been traveling around every week to different countries all over the world, interviewing people for the magazines we write for, and the Soho Loft, as you said before, it's a financial media company. We help write press, we write articles, and we bring attention to entrepreneurs who need that attention at different stages of their company. And what has been happening was that the SEC, going back to the new regulation, protects investors since the 1933 and 34 Act after the Great Depression, protecting investors from not getting fleeced and taken advantage of, because these are private offerings, and unless you're public, you know, you are not adhering to the same laws and rules and regulations that the public companies are sticking to. So that's why you can go and buy a public stock easily, but private stocks have a different way of going about to raise money. And to give you a little perspective on the new law allowing you to advertise, other countries have the same SEC equivalent enforcement agency, and you're not allowed to advertise freely unless you're a public company, and even then you have restrictions. But as a private company, the most common law to raise money, and for funds too, has been Regulation D506. Now, let's put it in perspective. In 2011, there was $968 billion in IPOs in North America, or in the U.S. specifically, and when private companies and funds were raising money, they used this strange name, Reg D506 exemption, to raise almost the same amount, $895 billion. So it's almost $1 trillion that's being used to raise money through the government, through the SEC exemption. You were never allowed to advertise for investors, and the law has changed, allowing advertising through internet, TV, media, press, print, conferences to come into effect. Now, the caveat is, A, you still have to be SEC compliant, which is something we have resolved at our firm, the Soho Loft, but you are allowed to legally advertise and take money from private individuals for a private startup or company. However, the caveat is also that you have to take it from accredited investors. And accreditation in the U.S. is really based on that $200,000 that you had salary of $20,000 the previous 2 years, and are expected to have the next year, or if you're a married couple, that your combined salary is $300,000. Or the third caveat as an accreditation requirement would be that you have a net worth of $1 million, excluding your primary home, but including your vacation home. So let me give you some more numbers. Last year, 2012, $22.9 billion were invested by 268,000 accredited investors. That's a lot of money, and that was from 268,000 accredited investors. But check this out. There are over 8.9 million households with a net worth over $1 million. There's confirmed 5.1 million accredited investors in the U.S. that are not being reached and have not made those investments. So this new law allows everybody who's listening here a chance to reach investors for exactly what they want, and this is going to be an immensely popular venue, not only for U.S. companies and funds, but also for foreign companies and funds, because they're going to realize and abroad they can't do it back home. Only in the U.S. will it be allowed to do. So, yes, it is tremendous, and I predicted about a year ago in an article with Thomson Reuters on predictions that this is going to be close to $1.5 billion next year in the U.S. alone on this exemption under the SEC called 506C. That's the new name for it. So that's one of the most exciting things out there currently, which companies can start taking advantage of. And I think that answers some of the questions that you have.
You bet. And now, how is this affecting firms globally and not just domestically?
Well, that's some of that I touched on, and you're right. They're going to find out that their SEC equivalent in their country won't allow them to do what's happening in the U.S. So in the U.S., you actually can advertise. So those companies abroad are going to start saying, well, let me talk to my lawyer and accountant, and they're going to advise them how to do it. And, you know, our firm wants to be a media company focused on helping them achieve that goal in the most efficient way, and also being compliant with SEC, allowing them to create a company in the U.S. that in turn would raise money through advertising in the U.S. And, you know, once again, the caveat was, you know, you can only take money from accredited investors. So the new law is going to be very exciting for all of us. Now, there, of course, are other laws, too, that we discuss as well. I think you wanted to know more about what's the next opportunity for early-stage capital for startups, right?
Well, actually, where are other opportunities for early-stage capital for startups? Yeah, that would be something that we would definitely want to know about.
Well, some of the other things we have today is crowdfunding. Even though the law for crowdfunding for equity where stocks are exchanged hasn't passed yet and probably won't for another year, crowdfunding today is already a close to $6 billion industry in the whole world. And I'll tell you what, you know, crowdfunding is both debt, equity, rewards, donations. Equity is when you get stock, not legal in the U.S. yet. Not very big abroad either. It's only standing for 3% of the world's numbers for crowdfunding. Donation is the biggest one in the world. About half of all the crowdfunding in the world this year, it's coming from donations where you give money away through the computer for a charity or a charitable cause. But however, you know, the reward base like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and Rocket Hub, the leading three in the world, where you get a reward or a service or product, they have been growing exponentially. And we're going to see, you know, million-dollar fundraisers online for products almost every week starting next year. And currently, you know, just like last year, we had over 20 that broke $1 million in less than 30 to 45 days. And this year, we have even more. So there is a complete change in the global perspective of how to go about to reach everybody to help you fund your next project or service. And, you know, I've been advising a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs that you should make crowdfunding a strategy that you do on a regular basis. Not all for one, but rather, you know, every 3 months do small crowdfunding strategy and build the infrastructure to be able to manage it. Because I look at crowdfunding just the same as a Facebook page for your company. You know, if you use it right, it's extremely powerful. And it's part of a social media marketing strategy that we have developed to help companies create that opportunity. And it's one of the reasons, you know, we've been advising the Washington Ballet and some other organizations globally on how they're going to do their campaigns. I hope that answers some of the other opportunities that are out there for entrepreneurs.
Most definitely. Today we're joined by Mr. Drake, the founder of the Soho Loft, that is a leading financial media company here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Drake, what should companies or startups do to learn more about the Soho Loft? And is going to the website, thesoholoft.com, sufficient?
Well, I think the first thing they should do is go to the SoHoLoft.com website and register for our newsletter. We send out a newsletter once a week about what's happening with early stage equity, both abroad and domestically. A lot about angels and angel events and how angels are investing heavily now. They've kind of taken over the empty vacuum that the banks and the VCs left behind them after the crisis. So we're always writing about what's happening cutting edge on how to get capital for early stage companies. So I think, yes, you're right, Eric. That would be probably the first thing that you'd do. Another thing we do is, you know, we're involved with 200 events. 50 of those are focused on angel investors. It's a great idea to come to these events just to listen to other entrepreneurs talking to the venture capitalists and the angels that we have. We usually have 20 to 40 angels at each event that we do. And they have workshops where entrepreneurs can do a practice pitch and real angels and VCs will critique them on the spot, and they'll get really tough with you. And it kind of lets entrepreneurs know where they stand on the cycle of their company or the and allows them to be more realistic of they have all their eggs in a row or if there's something they're missing or they can't answer certain questions. The nice thing is also you go to the Soho Loft and you look at upcoming events, we will let you know who the angels and VCs are, and their bias will be there before you have to buy a ticket. So it's all up front, which is great because instead of you having to call on investors one by one, you get a chance to meet, you know, up to 20, 30 of them right away in one event. And if you do your homework and review their background, you kind of will understand what their appetite is for investments. So those things have been very helpful, and we've heard from a lot of angel investors and VCs all over the world telling us that they're very grateful that the entrepreneurs that they're looking at came to that event because it gave the entrepreneurs a framework of seeing how they're standing up against other entrepreneurs and what are some of the questions that they need answered and be ready to raise money. I hope that answered the questions for you, Eric.
Certainly. And in conclusion, any final words of advice you would have for the entrepreneurs and investors listening in?
Well, for investors, you know, I think that what we're starting to see is a lot of angels are starting to recruit in the crowdfunding arena. And for the ones who haven't been an angel before, I recommend become a crowdfund investor, or rather not an investor, but a donor. Go to a crowdfunding website and donate $5, $10 tonight. Just see how it works. Feel it out. Get a sense for what your passions are and find a project that you're passionate about. See if there's any friends or family in your network whose kids are doing a campaign and get involved. It's the first step for investors and for entrepreneurs. And I would just say, you know, like my mother taught me, you know, no just means you're asking the wrong question or the wrong person. So, you know, alter your question or alter the person you're talking to. And finally, you know, like I like to live myself is, you know, rely on people to listen to you. They're going to be your biggest advocates. So maybe take a step back sometimes and start looking at, okay, who's listening to me tonight? Who's close to me? Who wants to help me? And, you know, revert back to them. It's always good to do that once every 3 to 6 months. That's my final advice. I hope that's good for you, Eric, and I hope to come back very soon.
You bet. You're always welcome to come back. Always good to have you. We've been speaking with Mr. Drake, the founder of the Soho Loft, that is a leading financial media company. The Soho Loft firm publishes articles for 40-plus publications, including Forbes and Thomson Reuters regularly, and manages ad engagement in 200-plus events per year. And the website of reference, once again, is thesoholoft.com. Mr. Drake, thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.